Well, it's good to be with you again this afternoon and have this opportunity to talk to you. I'll get my commercial over first, and most of you have my book. And by the way, if you have the other book, this is a new cover. Just in July, we came out with the fourth edition of it, Approaching Jehovah's Witnesses in Love. If you don't have the book, by all means, buy it. And then we have this little booklet, 20 Questions for Jehovah's Witnesses. And then I feel that one of the best tools that we have as cultists is to use their material in witnessing to them. And I encourage people, Jehovah's Witnesses, people witnessing to them, use their book, Knowledge That Leads to Everlasting Life. It's a tremendous way to witness. And I have here 68 pages of questions on the booklet. They're off of the beaten path. It's an excellent way to witness. And when you witness to them, they can't get mad for asking questions on the book that they've given you, can they? And it's a wonderful way to do that. And then also, many of you know, I have a packet of 130 pages on 30 different subjects of old Watchtower material. Some of it's new about their different prophecies, their changing and teachings and everything. And if you just read through this and read the underline, you'll get a tremendous education about the Watchtower Society. And so I have it back there on the table, back there in the far left. And then I'm working, I have a book completed, What the Watchtower Society Doesn't Want You to Know. We're trying to get this printed. We have some publishers now, pray that we might be able to get it printed. This is particularly written, I read it particularly, for those who are studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses, or for Jehovah's Witnesses who are on the fringe, or for people who want to understand the inside workings of the Watchtower Society from a non-technical view. I don't go into the doctrines and different things, but the inside workings, and I've been able to give this even to a number of people coming out, and it's a big help to them. Also, one thing new I have, the mind-controlling tactics of the Watchtower Society. These are just a dollar. If you don't have them, they will be a big help to you in it. And then later on, I have something here. I have proof that the Watchtower Society clearly claimed to be run by God. And I'll be mentioning something about that in our talk here. Might just say, for a couple of years I was a visitation pastor and I wasn't quite as active in the ministry as I was. But then a year or so ago, just a little over a year ago, I resigned and went back to having seminars in churches. And my wife and I, we go to different churches to try to make our contacts to have seminars. This has been one of the most educational years that I've gone through. And what I have to say is not very pretty. When I listened to Laura yesterday and what I heard her say, that was pathetic, about how we don't want to preach against sin, we don't want to talk about repentance and different things to try to get people in. I find that witnessing is an option which very few Christians want to opt into as you go on. And very few are interested in witnessing, period, let alone to those who are interested in witnessing to the cults. And so we have a very difficult time finding places to witness to, and they just don't. And if I do happen to get a meeting, I'm going to get the most minimum people that they can possibly give me. They're not going to expose people and let them know. The trouble is, almost every place I go, I get people witnessing that have never witnessed before. Now, I don't know why a pastor would be against that. I mean, why get people witnessing? And they don't just stop at the Jehovah's Witnesses. They go on to Mormons. They go on to other people and go on to witnessing. And it's a sad thing that's gone on. And I have very... The witnesses, we live in a restricted area. You're not allowed to visit their solicit. But they make phone calls and they send letters in. I had one man that was head of a Bible conference for 50 years and got a letter and a phone call and didn't know what to do. So he sends me a letter. Now, I've told people, and so they give me the letters and I answer the letters for them. And I answer a number of letters and things like that. But we have no idea. And these people are stealing people out of the churches left and right. But we're not concerned, and we need to get people concerned about them, on what the witnessing. I've, by my seminars, what I have, I've come up with an estimate. This is just my estimate. That probably only one in every 200 Christians is interested in witnessing those in the cults. and probably only 1 in 500 is interested in reading a book and studying and finding out how to do it right. We're up against a bad thing. You see what I mean? And we're just not interested. And I talked about, they're just not asking. I was at a pastor's meeting on Tuesday. Probably 20-some pastors there, and I stood up and I said, I'm interested in getting a church that I can work with over a period of time, that I can train a core of Christians in general witnessing and also witness to the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses so we can really make an impact. I said, is there any churches here be interested in anything like that? You know how many responses I got? Not one pastor come up and talk, even talk to me what I'm interested in. My friend, if I had my way and I could work with a church, we could put a dent, a big dent, in both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. But churches are just not interested, involved. It's a sad thing. But we just keep on going and doing what we can. Now today I want to talk to you about witnessing and some other things if we get time here. But there's a few passages of scripture that I'd like to read if you have your Bibles. Turn to Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9:36. Okay. It says, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Oh, that's my prayer, that I might see all Christians see the Jehovah's Witnesses that. Most Christians see the Jehovah's Witnesses as a big bother that they're going to get rid of them as fast as they can. I called an ex-missionary. He was a missionary for 40 years. Now he's retired. I was talking to his wife. And she said, whenever it comes, my husband gets out and quotes John 1:1 to him in Greek. And I said, boy, that's a bad place to start. But he said, that gets rid of them in a hurry. My friend, these are multitude that have no hope or anything, and we're trying to get rid of them as fast as we can. Then turn to 1 Peter 3. Now, this is going to seem strange, but I want to emphasize this in our witnessing today. 1 Peter 3:1-4. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adorning be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Would you be able to win a Jehovah's Witness to Christ by your actions? Would you? If they just watched your action, would they be able to see that there's something different in you? See that there's something appealing? Just let me give an illustration. When I was a young person, I had called to preach. I applied to one Bible school, but we had a new pastor come in. And I watched that pastor with his relationship with his wife. And I saw that there was something different about him. And he happened to have gone to Bob Jones University. And I saw him, and I went to Bob Jones University because of what the difference I saw. I said, if that university makes a difference and makes a husband and wife act like that, I want that. And I am interested in getting some people to the place where they will have the patience, the kindness, and the gentleness to be able to show some the other witnesses what it is about Christ in them by their gentle spirit. All right, 1 Peter 3:15-16. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in with you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, and when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. All that we may see. Friends, I wished I would have known this when I started. I said to myself, my shame, a lot of times I did not reveal Christ into my life. And then one more verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:8. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives, because you have become dear to us. If you're going to witness to those in the cults, you're going to have to give up something, is what they're doing. I had heard about one family. They were going to take and witness to the Jehovah's Witnesses, but when they found out there was a long-time commitment, they said, no. And that's what they wanted to do. Well, today I want to talk to you about what I call heart-to-heart witnessing. Most of the witnessing we do is from head to head. We have certain facts in our minds about salvation, and we take and we feel if we can impart these facts, and most of the facts that you have are correct, if we can impart these facts to another person's head, these facts are automatically supposed to work in the heart, and people are supposed to be saved. And that's generally the way that we do our witnessing. There are a few churches that still have door-to-door witnessing when they go out from door-to-door. When you go from door-to-door, most of them, they just open their Bible without asking their name, finding out anything about them, and then they begin to witness to them. You don't know anything about them. They don't know anything about you. And you're starting and presenting some facts from your head and going on and trying to witness to them. Of course, you know that the Jehovah's Witness is probably the best known for that. But do you know it takes 6,000 hours to get one convert? That's not very efficient in going to door to door. I went to a church. We go to these different churches trying to get seminars. I went to one church. And the first time we was there, they had a special speaker over the weekend on witnessing. I thought, boy, this is great. We went back again. They talked about witnessing. So I gave the pastor my book. I explained about my seminars. We went back again. They talked about witnessing. Then the pastor didn't get back to me, so I called him up and talked to him and on the situation. And he said to me, well, we're doing the best we can. I got a little bit upset. I said, you're not doing the best you can. I sit down and wrote that pastor a letter, 13 simple things that wouldn't cost him a penny to do that would greatly increase his witnessing. I didn't even get an answer. Not from him. Another answer. I went to another church. They had about witnessing in the bulletin. I thought, this is great. So they send you a letter. First time, you know, we're glad you're here. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know. So I write him a letter. I said, oh, whether I can do something for you, you can do something for me, we can do something for the Lord, but I have these seminars. Could I just come and talk to you? I don't even get an answer. Not even an answer coming back is what happened. There's other churches that they have to give an invitation every Sunday. Don't make any difference what it is. And by the way, I'm not talking against different ones. I'm trying to show you a better way. Okay? So if you do this, I'm not talking against these things. I'm not playing them down. I'm not talking about them. I'm just giving you, trying to use them as an illustration what to do. They give an invitation. If you happen to come in, and what happens is, if the official greeter might greet you, that's his job. You sit there. You can be there 15 minutes before the meeting, and nobody will say anything to you. They'll ask you to come down. If you happen to come down forward, somebody will take a Bible and open, show you a couple of verses. You're supposed to pray the sinner's prayer. You get a pat in the back. Praise the Lord. You're saved. Goodbye. And you come back next week. Nobody would know your name. They know nothing about you. Even the person that showed you the Bible probably didn't even get your name. They don't know anything about you. It's a very impersonal way. Now, some people do get saved this way, but it's not the best way to make it. They have no discipleship. They have nothing beyond that. Just go your merry way, what happened to them. There's some people who use the four spiritual laws. They have a booklet in there, and every time they come out, that's the only way that they have. They just have this one way of witnessing is how that they do it. There's not so many now, but back a while, they used the evangelism explosion method. Well, you used to have to prevent them. And when you go out to a person, you'd go in and you'd sit down. You didn't no much small talk. You would just start and you'd be sent. And you had, if I remember, four steps. that you had to present. You present this step, this step, this step. And everybody, you had to give them an opportunity for salvation. And I did go with some people one time. I mean, those people were no more ready for salvation than man on the moon. But they had to give them a thing. There was nothing personal about it. It was just a matter of a fact. We're doing these things and going through the road and presenting what they have. And I've heard of some people, they'll just make a decision to get off your back. I heard that one. You know, I just made a decision to get the people out of the house. That's what they do. And it's rather impersonal. There's other people, churches that don't give invitations, but they have catechisms. And whenever children get 12 years old, they go through a catechism class. And they teach them certain facts. And then after you go through the catechism class, then you take and they'll give you a test and ask you some questions. If you pass the question, you're a church member and you're in for life. And just in case it didn't happen, they would never give an invitation later on for you to accept Christ, right? It's just that's the way that they do it. I happened to have the privilege before, many of you know, I was a missionary in Japan for 35 years. Before I went to, I worked with a church in Detroit, Michigan. And I had the privilege of working under one of the best pastors I ever knew. He worked on what we call sowing and reaping. He was in an area, it was growing, and he had a lot of people coming in. But he used to sow for about 6 months. Very good Bible teacher. But during those 6 months, he was able to explain the gospel, all the areas of the gospel, salvation, Christian life, and different things. These people got to know the church. They got to know them. And after sowing for about 6 months, then he would give an invitation. Maybe he'd give an invitation for 4 weeks, and people would come forward. And then he said, we've reaped the harvest. We go back to sowing again. I'll tell you, those were not just decisions. Those people really trusted Christ, and they stayed in with the church, and they kept going on because they had a firm foundation of what all Christianity was all about. We're talking about cults. Most of the people, whenever they come to cults, they have a standardized way of witnessing the trouble. The only trouble ever is the cults know all those answers. They have all those answers along the way, and they want to do. If you start with the Mormons, what do they start with? Attacking Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon. By the way, using the Book of Mormon is one of the best ways to witness that there is to a Mormon. I had a Mormon, we hadn't come in for a while, and they said, well, you're asking too many questions, and when we come up, just say, agree or disagree. So I said, look to them. I said, I can't agree or disagree to something I don't even understand. And I said, well, let's look at compromise. I said, I'll tell you. If we can find it clearly written in the Book of Mormon, and there's not anything against it, I'll agree. He couldn't agree because the Book of Mormon is one of the most anti-Mormon books that exists. There's no Mormon doctrine in it, thing like that. But our thinkers said, we tacked polygamy and these other things, and we begin right off, and what happened? Bang! We start a nice big clash, and after about 30 minutes, it's all gone, and everything's gone. You haven't made a thing at all, and probably they won because you played right into their hand and going on. Then we all know about what happened to the Jehovah's Witnesses, and this, sad to say, included me. I wished I knew what I'm telling you today 28 years ago. It made a difference in my witnessing and the difference. I didn't do it. I had to learn all of this by the wrong way. We go straight for the juggler. We begin with John 1:1, don't we? You know what I mean? Boy, there we're going to give them and we're going to get them and gone in with the Trinity. That's the last place you should ever, ever, ever start. That's the last thing that you should ever start on the whole thing. And I don't understand. I can't figure out who devised this of witnessing to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know where it came from, but it's an awful bad source is where it came from. Because everybody else we witness to, we start with sin. Why do we start on the opposite end? My friend, Jesus only saves sinners. Now, many of you are Roman Catholics. The Roman Catholics are supposed to believe in the Trinity, but I don't meet many Catholics saved because they believe in the Trinity. I don't even know whether I've ever heard the word Trinity before I was saved. And of course, you can't fully understand it. We're thankful for the explanation we have today, but you can't understand it. And we start at the wrong place. And by the way, I'll just digress here just for a second. You don't have to answer Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't fear you always have to answer every one of their questions. If you're talking to them, make them do the answering. If I talk to Jehovah's Witnesses and they bring up the what's called the Trinity, I say to them, look, I'll explain what I believe. You do what with it. John 5:23 says that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. Now, Jesus is saying this. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. Jesus Christ is telling me that I'm supposed to honor him just as I honor the Father. In the Watchtower Bible, NWT, it's the same thing. It's very clear. You don't need any interpretation. It's very simple. I said, I just honor the Son as I honor the Father. And then I go to Philippians 2:9, 10, 11. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I said, the Ten Commandments says that I am not allowed to bow down to anybody but God. And here this verse says I'm supposed to bow down to Jesus. You take it, you do whatever you want to with it, and that's yours. I don't argue with you. Why do I have to argue with them? That's what I believe in. It's very simple. You don't have to argue and fight with them. People argue for hours. You don't have to do it and go on the things. And then we get down. They understand we get the immortality of the soul, 144,000, hell. Charles Russell, these miracle week, you know, and call them Russellites, you know, and all these things. And you know what happened? You bang, 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 and you just don't get very far. Are on the witnessing. And most of our witnessing is very ineffective because we're hanging from head to head. And that's where we're going. Roman Catholics, this is sad. Most Christians, when they go after Roman Catholics, they begin to attack the saints, praying to Mary, the authority of the Pope, and different things. And they really tear them down. And I feel many Christians, in their zeal, later on, they've lost a good thing because of their attacking. And things like that. That's not the best way to go on the other thing. Is there a better way? I think there is. And this is what I call heart-to-heart or holistic witnessing. This is not something you do in 15 minutes. It takes months, years, sometimes it takes a long time, but it's much more effective of what's going on. And this is that you have to get involved with the person you're trying to lead to Christ. There are no shortcuts. I have people call me up and they say, there's one thing that I can give to these Jehovah's Witnesses that will blow them apart. I say, no, I don't have it on the thing. I have an easier way, but not a fast way on the whole thing. This is something important. People are usually one to people, not dogma. And I say this reverently, you got to win the person to yourself before you win them to Christ. Right. And this takes time and what's going on. When you talk to a person, listen to what they say. Spend time asking the right questions. You can find out the way of thinking, what they like, their dislike, their moral and ethical codes. You can find out different things about them. And by the way, if you can't listen, you cannot witness. That is so important. That's one thing the cult taught me. You have to listen, and listen with interest to people. When you sit and listen to a person with interest, you put dignity in them. I'm just thinking about one person I was talking to, and I was talking to him while he was talking to him. I mean, I said to him, sit up. He happened to be a pastor, but I said, sit up. I mean, what am I talking to? I'm talking about something important, and whenever people are talking, put your head forward. Listen with interest what they're saying. And you show an interest in what people are saying. These are little things, but they're very big things whenever you begin to witness to these people what they are. And I say to them, show them what a Christian is, before you tell them. Most people like to talk about themselves. So let them talk and find out things about them and find out about their different things. And you will talk about different moral issues, different problems. And while you're working, then sometimes you have a chance to explain your way of thinking, your philosophy. You're not quite Christian yet, but you can explain your philosophy to them. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean. I was dealing with a Watchtower elder. He was a presiding elder from New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is home of Johnson & Johnson, you know, baby powder and Band-Aids and everything like that. And he was an engineer. And at the time that I started with him, he was getting some toothbrush machines from Germany, which had to come to Miami, Florida, which were gone down to Puerto Rico to establish. So he had to go over to Germany to order the machine. The two machines were supposed to be sent over to Miami. Well, one of the machines went to Miami and one went to Chicago. So he had to get the one from Chicago down to Miami. When he finally gets them down to Miami, he ships them down to Puerto Rico. And when he goes down to install them, the one that had gone to Chicago was broken. So he had to get somebody from Germany to come over and fix them. Now, who is interested in toothbrush machines? Huh? But this guy's an engineer. This is his life. And every week, I followed those toothbrush machines. We sat there and talked for half an hour about toothbrush machines on the whole thing. I mean, his wife don't want to look about toothbrush machines. She don't care. I did. And you know what happened? When we left, we just felt like putting our arms around each other, and I can't wait till next week. What's wrong with witnessing like that? You see, I knew his weak point. I knew where he was coming from and the thing. I can't say to say if he got out of the Watchtower Society, but that's an illustration of what we have to do. Let me say something. I hope you don't understand him. But I often have a heavy heart when I come to this conference. I see some people that haven't been here for a while. They go around the tables and they see all these helps and they come up with a big armload of helps. And I'm glad for everybody here, and I have helps, and I have all these different helps out there, and I spend a lot of time in getting help. But they grab all these facts, and they're going to go home, and they got these facts, and they're going to give it to those over witnesses. They're going to really get them. And they fall flat on their face. My friends, if you don't know how to get the facts across, then they're no good. Know everything you know. I know them inside and out. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're not going to get them just because of you got know the facts and you're going to put them out in what is going out have to do. Now, I'm not just interested in getting people out of the Watchtower Society. I know it's a lot of bondage, a lot goes into it, a lot's involved into it, and the whole different things. And yet, I want to take them another step, and I just don't want them to, don't understand me, just want them just to accept Christ and make a decision. That's not all that I'm after with in a long time. This is going to be a long time process. It's going to take time for them. They didn't get in overnight. They're not going to get out overnight and the things like that. And as we've heard, Jehovah's Witnesses, all their relationships are gathered around the Kingdom Hall. That's the only people they know. Now, coming out is a very frightening thing, and is what they're going to do, because they're going to have a lot of struggles. They're going to lose all their friends. And then this is the struggle that we heard here, you can't even think. Just the fact of entertaining a thought in your mind is, that's hard. That they might be wrong. You see the guilt that's in there? That's why we have to come alongside of these people. We have to show them that we're trying to understand and where they're coming from. We're showing that we're standing by. We sympathize with them. It's not an easy decision, but we understand the struggle that they're going to come through. And then even to think, and then it's a painful process of just maybe leaving the things. And so they're going to leave all of their friends. But let them know that they've got a one friend at least before they leave the Watchtower Society. And if you're not willing to be committed, you're not going to be witnessing to it. And so you build a relationship with it. This man from Johnson & Johnson, I said to him, I said, I want you to understand. He said, you can call me anytime, day or night. I'll be there with you. And the whole thing and what's over and going on. And so they're going to lose their old friends. They'll have to. And sometimes I found that Jehovah Witnesses will be mean and rotten and nasty on purpose. They're testing you. And most people say, look, I don't have to take that. Get out of here. Whenever they do that, I try to put on the best face, the biggest smile that I have to, because I know what they're doing. They're testing me. And you realize that no Jehovah Witness has an unconditional loving friend. And the fact is that there's somebody, and I'm pagan, Babylon, I'm false prophet, I believe in that pagan doctrine of the Trinity and things like that, and they can trust me, and they'll put you to the test. But prove to them that you can be trusted and what's going on. And then often, it's very hard to get them right out of the Watchtower Society, right into Christ. There's not too many cases. They come out of the Watchtower Society, they're bare, bitter, they've been hurt very, very hard. And they need some understanding at this time. The best thing you can do at this time is listen. You don't have to give any advice. Just listen to them, and they'll work their way through. They go out in what I say is a state of limbo, and you have to be faithful. And this is where a lot of people fail. They work and they get them out of the Watchtower Society. They don't get them into Christ and into the church. So they said, I failed. I give them up. Don't give them up at this time. This is a very important step to go with them and go over and help them. But if you do get them out of the Watchtower Society and you do bring them over part way, this way, you're not done yet. Okay? And if you do get them in Christ, you're not done with them yet. You have to have some Bible studies with them. Not book studies, Bible studies with them. Because they're biblically ignorant. And so you have to spend time working with them. And by the way, when you're telling people about Jesus Christ, tell them the whole story. It is true that if you confess your sins, repent of your sins, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you come into a personal relationship with Christ. It is true that whenever you die and you go to heaven. But between these two is a big gap. And my friends, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of trials, there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of difficulties, and a lot of heartaches in here. And I feel, before I invite a person to Christ, I must tell them, particularly as a missionary. Over in Japan, we had freedom over there, but their families were Buddhist, and you're going to have all kind of problems and difficulties, and you're going to go through it. And I felt I had to tell them everything, the good and the bad, so to speak, on the whole thing. And then when I tell you the whole story, then I say, would you like to accept Christ under these conditions? And I found when I told them the whole story, and they make a decision, when they run into the persecution, they stick. They say, he told me. He was up front with me. But what happens? They don't tell you. They say they feel like they were deceived, and they fall by the wayside, is what they want to do. I'm not out after quick decisions. That's not what I'm after. I want people to come on and go on to Christ and go on to them. And then they need to be discipled. We've got to spend time to disciple them and grow them on, and this takes a time for them. Now comes probably the greatest two things that they have. If you want to get them in church, you have to prepare them to get them to the church. Because Satan is right over the threshold. He's going to jump on them. They're going to be demon-possessed if they go in the church. And those of you who have been, it's a terrible thing. And you have to prepare them, tell them that Satan's not over the threshold. And also you have to explain about the cross. So it happened in my home church one time. I was working with a lady. Her husband was J.W. We worked with him and finally got him out of the Watchtower and got him to come to church. And when he came to church, the pastor put a cover over the cross. I don't see anything wrong with that. Because it was such a tremendous thing to come into the church. And then after a while, he got into the church. Then he took the cover off. He finally became head of the deacon board. And the whole thing. But they showed a little bit of sympathy through them. And it's a very difficult thing for them to go through. Now I have to say one of the saddest things I have to say. Our churches are not prepared to accept those in the cults. For somehow, the Jehovah's Witness came in the door, people don't trust them. They got the plague, or something as a, some kind of a spreading virus, or something that they got is the whole thing. And I mean, I'm not kidding you. People don't trust them. And I just heard a little while ago, somebody said, they just came in, trust them. A guy came in, the Jehovah's Witness made a decision in the church, they didn't trust him. And what happened? He left. And the thing is, some people, if they found out they were Jehovah's Witness, they would take them against the wall. They would pound them right against the wall and pound the Trinity into them and make sure that they believe in the Trinity the first time they came. We'd drive them off faster than what's called. And I just spoke in a church, and I said, until we get holistic witnessing, we're not going to be very successful. Pastor says, if you want to deal with them, that's okay, that's your baby. The church doesn't get involved, they don't pray for them, they don't get ready to pray. If you got a person that's out here dealing with a Jehovah's Witness, you better start preparing. Maybe it might be 2 years before they come to church. You got to start preparing your people in the church to accept those people. And we're not doing that. And I have so many say to her, I personally remember one lady, I worked 2 years with her. First on the phone, worked with her. I got her to come to a church. And she said, that's a private club. And you know what? She was right. I spent 2 years working with her, and she drove her away. I had another lady, I spent a couple years with her. Got her saved. She was saved through reading the Bible. And I'm part of church, so I want the church to take over. So I called one pastor up and I said, do you have a couple that would go, or a lady, go to this lady and talk to her and try to get her to come to church? December. The last part of January, he called me up. He said, would you give me that number again? I forgot it. I met that lady, I talked to her on the phone in August, and nobody ever came to talk to her. These are some of the things that we have, what's going on and things. Another major problem with Jehovah's Witnesses is they have to learn to think for themselves. And that's a tremendous problem. I had one lady call me. She had got to be a Jehovah's Witness at 9 years old when her mother joined. She was 29. She had just left a couple of years ago. And she had a job, and she was thrust into a place where she had to make decisions. She said, I don't know how to make decisions. What do I do? 29 years old. I tried to help them. They don't know how to think. That's a frightening deal. And my friend, we need to be involved in people and understand people and spend time for people and the one they are. I can't give you any time that I can ever say that I went anybody to Christ in 15 minutes. And by the way, if I'm on a plane, I'll take time to witness to them. If I only have 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I'll try to witness to them, and there's nothing wrong with them. But the ideal thing is for a long time to think. But I can tell you about one man we worked for 27 years for. I can tell you another lady that we prayed and worked for 40 years for. We were just in Japan in May and August, and I was in the home of a lady for her husband we prayed for 42 years for. That's what it is. It takes time and patience. And I just pray that we might have heart-to-heart witnessing, that we open up. And you know, whenever Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, the unsaved don't like them, but the Christians are the rudest there are. And because I was a missionary and knew many people and had wonderful supporting people, I knew many good Christians, and I just like these Jehovah's Witnesses to meet up with some of these nice Christians. You understand what I'm talking about? It takes some love. It takes a pouring out. But Christians are just not concerned. I don't understand it. They'll argue with a Jehovah's Witness about the doctrine of hell, but they don't care if they do go to hell. They don't care. It's the whole thing is going on and what things like that. So I hope you understand. Now, I want to shift gears here just for a few minutes and two other things. I was talking to a lady in Houston, Texas, and by the way, if any of you ever witness, ever want to call me, give me a call, I'll answer your call. I get lots of phone calls. I'm there to help people. And she was witnessing to a friend that she knew that was a Jehovah's Witness and had two sisters that she knows was witnessing. And the people in her church was telling her, "You're wasting your time." I have heard this so many times whenever people come around and they say, "You're just wasting your time. Those people are too hard to get along with, and you're not going to make any progress with them, so forget about them." Friends, you never waste time when you witness. You never waste time. I'll give you an illustration. I heard one was a Jehovah's Witness came to a house, and the family tried to witness to this Jehovah's Witness. And they did a little bit better job than they could. But this was a belligerent Jehovah's Witness. He was really belligerent. But this family tried to do what they could. 7 years later, there was a knock on this Christian door. This Jehovah's Witness man came back and was standing at the door, and he said, "Do you remember me?" They probably said, "How could we forget somebody like this?" He says, "I'm here for a different reason now." He said, "I want to hear what you have to say." And that fellow was saved and was able to have seminars and go around, was able to win many people to the Lord. Amen. If we had this attitude on what to do, what would missionaries do? When I went to Japan, there are no easy people in Japan. There just aren't any. You've got to spend time and work and things like that. And I start from zero. It took me 17 years to build a supporting church. I started out with a handful of people. But now it's a self-supporting church with a Japanese pastor. It was a waste of time. Some of these missionaries in some of these fields labor for years. Years, and never see a convert. Then all of a sudden, something begins to blossom out. I can remember when I was a kid, South America, that was a pits. I mean, that was a hard, they were Roman Catholics down there, it was hard. But look what's happening in South America today. We have. You're never wasting your time. You don't know what you're doing. And my friend, you are just as successful. If you're faithful in witnessing, you are just as successful if that person comes to know Christ or whether he doesn't. That's not your responsibility. You are just as successful if you, in loving patience, some people I know, they said 5 minutes at the door, "I give them the gospel, goodbye." No, that's not really giving the gospel and the things like that. And one of the things is the witnessing Christians are the growing Christians. And you wonder, well, if there's any pastors here, you wonder why your Christians are not growing? We're not witnessing. I wish I had the time to tell you, when I get people witnessing, how they blossom out. Over here is this couple that spoke this morning. I'll tell you, this fella, I've worked with him for the last 3 years. And I remember when I first saw him, that he's come out and he's just blossomed. I mean, I'll tell you, it's just thrilling to see him. Randy, it's the way he's just blossomed out in the things of Christ. And it's just really witnessing to his stepfather and things like that. And I'm really proud of the things So don't ever tell a person they're wasting their time. Right? But you know, sometimes you say to the people, they're saying, "Wasting your time, how many of those easy people have you won?" 5 minutes, okay. We got 5 minutes on there. On the thing is what to do. Then there's just one other thing I'll try to do it briefly and work on here and what I want to do. Probably one of the most frustrating things that you ever received is about New Light. Okay. Now, I don't have time to do it, but in case you're... I have 18 pages here of Watchtower material which clearly states that the organization is run by God. What is written in the Watchtower Society does not come from man, but it comes from God. Odd. That Jehovah God is overseeing the organization. When you read the Watchtower magazine, you're not reading the sayings of men. You're reading them. What they are is you're reading the things of God. And if any of you want this, I have them back there for $2. They're very interesting, these quotes that you can find about how to witness to them is what happens to you. Okay, now, whenever you say to them, okay, where did the original teachings come from? Okay, they claim to come from God. Okay, but the only problem is what they'll say. Well, you realize that we do have fallible men at the head of our organization. Well, that's interesting. Okay, then you say to them, okay, if you had men at the head of your organization, how do they come about these decisions? Now, they're supposed to be Bible scholars, aren't they? They're supposed to spend lots of time in prayer. Well, these Bible scholars and these men that spend time in prayer, well, then how come they make so many mistakes? You're pushing them back on the whole thing. And what do they do and what happens to the whole thing? Now, the only trouble is sometimes they get new light to change the new light, which they got to cover up the original as the thing, what's going on and what they have to do and on the whole thing. Now, sometimes they will say, well, at least we admit our mistakes. Whenever they say that to, say, did I hear you right? You say you admit your mistakes. I would like for you to show me one Watchtower magazine, book, or anywhere where the Watchtower ever admitted they made mistakes and made restitution. Is what they have to do. And you have to make restitution if you're really sorry for the things like that. The Watchtower never, ever says that they made a mistake as what they are and the things. And sometimes they'll say, well, the disciples made mistakes. No, the disciples did not make mistakes as disciples whenever they gave the word of God. They never had to go back and correct anything. They never claimed it came from God and gone back over the whole thing. You're able to push them back here and the whole thing. And they say, well, you know, it comes down, they have to admit. They say, well, you know, we do have men at the head of our government. So I said, no, wait a second. Let me help you. Help me understand here. I'm supposed to get hepped up about joining an organization that's run by human men that have a history of making mistakes. Now, what are you going to say to talk with us? Huh? It's a thing like that. And you have to work with it. But often you can use, I have more time, but you can use their argument to put them back on them and put them onto them. But I trust that we will have a loving spirit to these people and show them that they come to know Christ. I know it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of patience. I can remember I spent a lot of time working with the Mormons. I spent 7 years studying Mormonism. I read books. I dealt with people and everything. And it was 7 years before I could really say that I saw one person saved. And I'll tell you, the thrill of it was worth all the time that I ever put into it. And we praise the Lord. Shall we close in prayer? Father, many have come here with light hearts because they have come out of the Watchtower Society. They've come out of tremendous burdens and they've come to the freedom in Christ. But yet there's others of us that have a heavy heart, not because we do not know Christ, but because of these many that are left in, that know not the freedom that we have. They know have not the peace, the joy, the wonderful comfort in Christ that we have. And so, Father, we pray that you might lay a greater burden upon each one of our hearts, our churches, our pastors, that, Father, that this great mission field which comes into the door, that we might be able to reap it for thee and for thine honor and glory. So bless these words to our hearts and continue to be with us in this conference. And we'll praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.